Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, November 22nd. The time, the local time here, actually, my computer tells me is 10 a.m., which is what's expected. And in Australia, right now, it's 5 a.m.
This is
in case you needed to know that.
Information we need to know.
And that's actually, it's 5 a.m. Wednesday right. In Australia already.
Good day, mates.
Wow. So that would be quite a long flight, right?
Yeah, it's Australia. It's almost like a full, it's like 17
probably
hour,
almost 24
hour,
right?
Yeah.
It's pretty far.
It's a lot of little bottles of vodka for Tori.
Yeah. You see, I flew very far to South Africa from here, but I made a few stops, or at least one stop in Italy, I think. So it broke it up a little bit.
Sure.
But those are long flights.
Yeah, for Australia, you can always stop in Hawaii. Do a little break
that's
there,
true, right?
And then head out.
Yeah, and maybe in Asia or something, on the way. Yeah. So Japan just had another earthquake, right?
Sure did, yeah.
Did the tsunami happen there?
Did not happen.
No, huh?
No tsunami, thank God.
Can you imagine working 4 or 5 years to rebuild something only to have it destroyed?
I know.
In a split second?
It's very, when you're on that fault line, man, it's just like California.
Right.
You never know.
And their islands are full of earthquakes and volcanoes and everything. So, Japan is not very lucky when it comes to those things at all.
No.
But maybe they dodged a bullet this time with
the
tsunami,
Let's hope so. Yeah, the tsunami is what causes, earthquake's bad, but the tsunami causes terrible damage.
Right. You know what's interesting? When you drive down the coast here, they have signs that say tsunami area.
Yeah.
You know, near the beach.
Don't live near there.
Yeah. Move to the valley here, guys. We're protected
nice
here.
And warm in the valley.
Exactly.
A little too warm, I think.
A little crater here in the midst of all the, between the desert and the beach.
Yes.
So we do have special guests today. We're going to get to them in a few minutes. A couple of them here and one will call in. Obviously, a big team. And so that should be fun. A couple things that I wanted to bring up is you heard that Kanye West was hospitalized.
Yeah.
You would know that, right?
Yes.
You're a pop culture fanatic.
We broke the news on Fox 11 last night.
Oh, you did?
Oh, we did.
Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So you were on Channel 11 yesterday, right?
I was, yes.
At 5 o'clock. Now, can we watch this if we missed it on TV?
I can send you the clip. Yeah, it's on Fox LA. You can go and look for me.
Really? On Fox LA? Can you cut it out and put it on YouTube?
Yeah, I'll put it on YouTube and stuff. Yeah, no, it was good. I went against a GOP strategist to discuss Trump and SNL and Hamilton and sort of the...
Wow.
And they were all like, why is a pop culture expert on there? And I'm like, because, Donald Trump is a pop culture reality star. They think I don't know politics, but I know politics. So we had a long, strong, heated discussion as a liberal on Fox. It was not easy. And then I went on Fox Facebook live chat on their national internet show, and you could Facebook and comment with me and talk, and we talked about Kanye the whole time.
So is that the one with Christine Devine?
Yes. So
okay,
I was with Ms.
I saw the post, but I didn't see you in there.
Oh, yes.
So I thought, let's get this along, move this along.
Yes. Here.
So that was a Facebook Live thing,
yes.
Right?
It got very heated. A lot of Kanye was hospitalized, and not like the normal nervous exhaustion, air quotes.
Which is what they say.
They always
though,
say,
right?
But he got a welfare check, which means someone from the LAPD had to call in and say, do you feel like you're a danger to yourself or someone else? And he had to have responded enough that they were concerned enough, and paramedics showed up. So this wasn't a joke. It wasn't something to be laughed at. I mean, he seriously had something wrong. And his mom, his mom's passed away in November. He always kind of goes on a bad rant in November.
And he has been acting weird.
He always
days,
has these
right?
odd behaviors, which is sort of a showing, a signal that something's going wrong. And he canceled the Life of Pablo tour after some weird erratic behavior. And I don't want to make fun because we don't know what happened, but it was not one of these, I'm going to rehab. It was, he was taken from his home with the police to the hospital. So, you know, this is serious. And if you were going to discuss mental health, Kanye is a whack job, but he's also
maybe he had a breakdown. Like a mental breakdown.
So at this point, you know, a lot of people were making fun of us online with Christine Devine and Matt Fletcher, who's an attorney for Suge Knight. And we were all saying, hey, this is a real issue. You don't call him cuckoo. This is when LAPD is called in. It's not funny, you know.
Right.
So it seems to be a real issue. And I think he has a lot of demons to work out.
Right. Yeah. I don't know about those Facebook Lives, though, and all these chat rooms, you know, because people just are like trolls and they are like crazy, right?
Yeah, I got a lot of like
haters.
But then they were like, Tori's hot. And I was like, now I like Facebook.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. No. There was a lot of trolls, a lot of people saying it wasn't news, and a lot of us saying, hey, if we get mental health into the discussion of news, it's fine.
Right.
What
about when they rip you to pieces, the way you look and the way you dress and all that? You're okay with that?
I'm okay. I'm strong.
Wow.
Thick skin.
But I mean, people will talk about anything. It's like, why does she have a mole on her face? Why does why do they do this? Why do they do that? You know?
Yeah.
I was watching a little show that, and they're going like, what cigar is he smoking? You know, what is this? Where is he? How come he's not on yet? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, come on, guys, just relax.
It's a angry little world out there, and it's only getting angrier.
Yeah, and people sit behind their screens, and they feel they can do anything they want.
Yeah, bullying has become very acceptable, especially in this political climate. Bullying is now the cool thing to do, which is just terrifying.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
But bullying has come up to the headlines for several years.
Bullying.
So it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. And I think when you have, you know, not to talk politics, but a president who tweets those kind of comments, you get a feeling that from the top down, it's sort of okay. So you see these increases in bullying in schools and, you know, writing on the wall. So it's very dangerous to go that route. Mm. So we have to be very careful.
Yeah. Well, bullying is no good no matter where you
are.
You know, it really like destroys people. It leaves people in trauma. And, you know, it just it doesn't have any place in our society. But, you know, what are you going to do? They start when they're small kids and they keep doing this, mm-hmm. you know. Another big robbery in Paris. Did you hear about that one?
No.
Two Qatari sisters were robbed of $5.3 million in valuables.
Dear rich people, don't go to Paris with your
so
jewelry.
Money. Exactly.
Keep the jewelry away. Bring your CZs, man. What's with you?
You know,
it's terrible. That's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, you know, so they were pulled over. Their car was intercepted on the freeway.
Damn.
And on the way to Paris from the airport. And their belongings were taken.
They're getting wild in Paris. I mean, there's a real sting operation going on there.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, people dressed like police. These obviously intercepted them in the car. So very sophisticated chain of events going on there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also think of Kanye. You know, his wife was held up by gunpoint and she was gagged in a bathtub. That's also like,
you know, so
traumatic, to be honest. And she's not yet made. She has gone quiet. So for her, she is back. It's enough for her.
For her,
I mean, you make fun, but it's not that funny. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. Well, anybody that wants to go to Paris, you have my blessings, but I ain't going anywhere near there.
No, keep your jewelry away from there.
Yeah, exactly. Like I have $5 million in jewelry, right?
Right. Bling, bling. Keep it away.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's obviously some kind of sting going down in Paris. So
yeah.
Watch your back.
So in a couple of minutes, I want to go through a few very cool holiday toys, new holiday toys. They're showing like the coolest of them. And you're going to want to get some of those.
Okay, let's hear
them. Okay, one of them is a self-hatching interactive pet.
Oh, my God.
And it's called Hatchimals, which is a terrible name, I think.
Hatchables?
Yeah, Hatchables. I guess it's okay, but Hatchimals.
Oh, like animals?
Yeah.
That's a terrible name.
That's a terrible name, right?
And what do they
Hatchables
just,
would be good.
Yeah, so they just hatch out an egg or what?
They actually they come inside an egg, and if you play with it for 30 minutes and stuff, they start pecking
that's
at
disgusting.
It from inside.
That's disgusting.
Why?
I don't know. You're right.
Yeah, it's a furry stuffed animal, so it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess when you don't see it, you don't realize it is.
I was thinking more like the dinosaur from Jurassic Park that's all
slimy.
No,
not at all.
Okay.
This is like a little bird, you know, stuffed bird or something.
Okay.
And then it costs $60 and it pecks at the exterior loudly and with force and ultimately breaks through.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
So you have to play with it for at least 30 minutes and and it keeps on going. The next thing is a do-it-yourself Lego drone kit.
Okay.
Okay, so you can make a drone out of Legos. That's cool. Barbie's high-tech dream house.
Of course, because we need more stuff for Barbie.
Yeah, right?
She's so material. No, but hopefully it's more like they're trying to get Barbie to be more scientific.
More diverse.
Yeah, and
stuff,
also like...
Like big ass.
Yeah, they showed Ashley Graham had a Barbie made of hers, and she was like, all I want is the thighs to touch.
Yeah, right?
And so she's a plus size model, and they showed the towel, and there's no thigh gap. I mean, there is a thigh gap. Yeah, it's huge. So I don't know. They're trying to make Barbie like smarter for girls and dealing with science and math, so that's good, I guess. I never liked Barbies. I was like, what is this?
Really? You went into it. What did you like as toys?
Make believe.
Really?
Yeah, I did a lot of weird make believe. I wasn't a big toy. I was into like make believe.
Yeah, that's cool. So you went with your head, with your mind, you know.
Psycho.
Yeah. Then they have coding for preschoolers, believe it or not. They have a Codapillar, which is like a preschooler thing.
Wait, a Codapillar? That's hilarious.
Right?
That's very good.
So, and it looks like a caterpillar.
And it's what, coding, computer coding?
It's not a computer. It just looks really like pieces of plastic. I don't know exactly what it does, but it helps them with sequencing and logic.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Like
okay.
That. Pretty cool. The next one, real quick, no cash Monopoly. So you only get bank cards.
Kit. The whole thing is the money.
Right?
Why would I play Monopoly for bank card?
With credit card, I don't know. But, you know, what can you do?
That's ridiculous.
Then you get a robot with feelings.
Oh, you
got it. It's got a...
That's like your cold grandpa Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It's called Cosmo, and it looks like Pixar's Wall-E.
Okay, and it has feelings?
It has feelings.
What kind of feelings does it have?
I don't know.
Is it like excited or is it like...
It can interact with the user, you know? I don't know. Yeah, think of it like a tabletop puppy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, there's a lot more, folks, but why don't you just figure them out yourself? Go to Toys R Us and see what's going on. I'm not going to list all of them here.
I'm with the Codapillar. I like that one.
Yeah, right? All right. Well, we're going to be joined by our guest right now who's sitting here patiently, and we always appreciate that. The stars of the new film, Till We Meet Again.
Woohoo!
We have Astrea Campbell Cobb and Emrys Cooper. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks
Get
so much
very
for
close
us.
To the mics, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, closer even than that, then
I'll
thank
make love to the mic.
You'll thank me later. So, welcome, guys. Are you guys living in LA?
Yes, I live in LA, but at the time that we were filming the movie, I was actually living in New York.
Oh, really? So, yeah, the film was, it was filmed in New York, right? But it also takes place in Thailand?
Yeah,
did you guys actually go to Thailand?
That's right. Part of it, the first part of it was filmed in New York, and neither of us were involved when they did the filming. It was two separate shoots. And then the second half was filmed in Thailand, and we actually did get to go to Thailand.
For a month.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Didn't suck.
Vacation. No, it does not suck.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we're going to hear all about it, but I see we get another call, and that's going to be Johan, probably, who's also part of the film, so we're going to bring him
Don't answer the
right
phone.
Now.
Don't answer the phone.
I know. Hi, Johan. Are you with us?
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Johan Madden, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you called exactly perfect timing because we were just being introduced to Astrea and Emrys. So we're glad to have you on the show, too. Where are you calling us from this morning?
So I'm calling you from downtown New York, Manhattan.
Nice.
So it's 1 o'clock here.
He's a hipster.
Yeah, total hipster.
Yeah, right?
Are you wearing a hat and being ironic?
His hair is very long
he
now.
Probably is.
Probably is.
Wow, that's cool. So now, you guys, all three of you, and there's obviously more people were involved in the film Till We Meet Again. And so are you guys the stars of the show, Emrys?
We are.
Of the film, I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, as opposed to other crew members, producers, writers. And,
well, it does follow this one couple, Johan being the male half of the couple, and then Linnea being the other. And then Emrys and I are the supporting leads, and we meet up with the two leads and have our own separate adventures. So Embrace and I actually never share a screen.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's
wow,
sad.
Is that true?
Yes.
Wow.
You guys have good chemistry.
But we
man.
Hung out. We actually, on all our days off, we would go and do things.
Oh, yeah. We went on lots of adventures yeah. when we weren't shooting.
yeah. So what exactly, I mean, so you guys were kind of, so, and the main characters did have romance and adventures and things like that, right? And it's just that you guys never meet on the screen. Is that what happens?
Yeah, well, we're in different parallel storylines. So Johan, who you're on the phone to,
right.
and his actual real-life girlfriend, Linnea, who are together in real life. I actually have an affair with his girlfriend.
Oh, lovely.
Which was kind of funny when we were shooting the sex scene. And Johan,
sure, yeah. right?
So I'm like banging his girlfriend in the little tiny hotel room. And Johan's like, go for it. Yeah, like, this is so
wow. That yeah. takes a lot of courage to do that. Johan, what were you thinking at the time? I mean, I'm curious to know how you were thinking. What you were thinking about when this was taking
yeah, I
place?
Yeah, this will create great chemistry.
Yeah. I know, right?
What's the plot of the movie?
So it follows this couple yeah. Who's living in New York, or maybe Johan wants to chronicle the story since yeah. he is actually the writer.
Oh, right. Johan,
oh,
tell
okay,
us.
Go ahead then. Johan.
Sorry, what was the question?
Okay, the question was, she was going to tell us what the film was about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's basically this couple that, the difference is that this story starts at the end of a relationship when everything is bad. So this couple, New York couple, travels to Thailand to try to make everything come together again, and then they argue and they split up. So we follow both their storylines as they like travel and meet Emre's character and Astria's characters along the way, and then these backpackers. And yeah, we're following both of their storylines in Thailand, basically.
Wow, very cool. And so you came up with the story, Johan. How long ago did you think about this first?
I actually lived in Thailand for a year. So
it's kind of based on real events, though, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And then this became a screenplay eventually. And then, yeah, I wrote it for a couple of years at different coffee shops in New York City, just sitting around and putting it together, basically.
Hipster.
Yeah. Did you do any coffee shops in Amsterdam as opposed to coffee shops in New York?
That's my coffee shop.
Absolutely, definitely.
No, I mean, writing place there.
I hear coffee shops, my mind goes to marijuana. What can I say?
It's taken him 5 years to finish it then.
Yeah.
So this is cool. Now, how? So Johan, you were the originator of the whole project, right? This is based on your adventures there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fiction. It like became more about writing a story that would work for an audience and being interesting than my life. So initially the story was very much like taken from my life, but now the end product is like not at all basically anymore. It's a few things in there that is true. I'm not going to tell what and what isn't. But,
right.
But yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you want to enjoy the movie. It doesn't matter what part was true and what was not. But it's amazing that you came up with a story like this. Is this the first time you ever wrote a screenplay, put together a film like this?
Yeah, I've only been acting before, so this is the first time I'm actually behind the camera. I was also writing and producing something that I decided after a while writing it that I wanted to play this character myself. But yeah, this is the first time I'm actually involved in both ends.
Was writing easier? Was it harder than acting?
I mean, there's a lot of patience and such a different process. It's funny because the director I choose to work with, he had to approach me telling me which part of me he was talking to.
Writer hat, actor hat.
Can I speak to writer Johan and change these things here? Can I speak to producer Johan? We need more money. And can I speak to actor Johan? You need to do this differently.
Yeah, it was funny once we got to Thailand because I shared all of my scenes pretty much with Johan. So sometimes I would have to be like, okay, I have a producer question, or oh, I have an actor question, or can you just be my friend right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I just need I need a hug. Yeah.
So now, did you and Johan have a love scene then? I mean, was that like because the other ones did, right?
Yeah, the other pair so did. My character, I play a character, her name is Miranda, and I am the free-spirited backpacker that meets up with Johan's character.
Kind of contrasting
character.
Him, because he's very introverted and shy, and she, balances.
Yeah, he's very much stuck in his shell, and I mean, this movie just speaks to traveling and what that itch means to people and what traveling means, because people are escaping something, trying to find something, trying to figure something out. I think that's the amazing thing about travel. Yeah. So clearly, both of these people are traveling for whatever reasons, and they intersect and they sort of literally run into each other at a market.
Wow.
And
it's like Big and Carrie. Remember that? Oh, no. Aiden and Carrie. Sex in the City. Keep going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except in Thailand, exactly. In a night market, and I'm wearing like the same thing in every shot. But yes, we do end up having this weird platonic mentor / sexual relationship. It's definitely not this romantic thing. Yeah, I do play this very I play a girl who really goes after life and is a little bit of a predator in some of these love scenes where she just goes after what she wants to do.
Wow.
And sometimes she goes
women
after
often portrayed that way.
Yeah, I was
nice
gonna
to
say
see that.
And predator has such a bad connotation, but she's just like into what she wants.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of a better word for that, because
that
predator is really aggressive and violent, and it makes you feel uncomfortable. But what do you call a girl who just goes after a guy?
Right, exactly. How often does that happen?
Cool.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know what you call it.
Badass motherfucker.
Johanna, I wanted to ask you a couple more things about the film. So is this a full feature or is it a short film?
Yeah, no, definitely a full feature. It's 1 hour and 32 minutes long.
Wow, so that's quite an undertaking.
Yeah, I mean, the initial assembly cut of this film was 3 hours. We had so many great scenes and footage, and all the actors did such a great job. We had so much good things we wanted to showcase, and we realized that we're not going to be able to hold an audience for 3 hours. So
no.
Let's have this. So we, after a long period of editing, we edited for months. We came down to a cut that was 1.5 hours, and we think this is the way we wanted to showcase this film and in the best way.
That's awesome. So before we go on, Johan, how can people see some of the movie previews? When is the movie released?
So it's playing in theaters right now in the San Francisco area, and we're talking about screening in New York as well, but it's playing for 7 days in San Francisco, 3 times a day. But the big release on iTunes and video on demand to see it everywhere, it's on November 25th. So this Friday. You can rent
that's
it and buy
great.
It.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to that. You know, I like movies like this. You know, it sounds like, it kind of takes me back to youth, you know. And what I did want to ask Emrys is, did you know Johan before you got on this project?
No, basically...
No. You got to get much closer to the mic. Yeah.
Hello, microphone.
There you go.
So basically, I was in LA 2.5 years ago and, you know, relying on just my agent to get me auditions. And then all my other friends, like, were being more proactive and, like, submitting for jobs. And I was like, oh, that sounds so boring. I was just, like, waiting for the phone to ring, and the phone wasn't ringing enough. So I was like, okay, I'm going to submit myself for a job. And I joined a casting website called Let It Cast. And literally the first thing I saw was Till We Meet Again shooting in Thailand. I was like, boom, the Thailand thing got me.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I could do it the month in Thailand. So I submitted for the role, and then we did an audition on just by tape. So I filmed myself, sent it in, then they liked it, so I did another one, and then I Skyped with them, and I could just tell we just got on like a house on fire immediately. It was like I knew them.
My agent kicked up
a huge fuss and was like, there's no way in hell you're doing it, because you know, it wasn't much money for them, and I just stuck to my gut and went for it. So it ends up being an incredible, like, just an amazing experience acting-wise, making friends, and just an unforgettable kind of journey where, you know, you can't really... I didn't anticipate it being as amazing as it was.
Remember, the agent works for you. You got to be able to say yes or no to what you always remember
career.
That. Yeah, it's hard because it's intimidating when an agent or manager says, oh, no, that's not enough money. But they work for you, man.
Yeah.
Completely. You're the CEO and then your staff collaborators, but you're running the company. So you have to sometimes hold your ground.
Yeah, that's true. And Johan, I wanted to ask you also, how long did it take to put your project together until it finally saw the light of day?
Yeah, so basically the writing process was its own thing, but when we start shooting, we shot the flashbacks in the film that takes place in New York, more than a year before we actually got the funding and enough money to shoot the Thailand part. So that actually worked in our favor, because you can tell that we are younger and it looks different. We had different style for the New York part. So yeah, after we start shooting the Thailand part, I was in Thailand earlier for location scouting. So I spent 3 months in Thailand. The whole project has just been expanded over a period of 3 years almost, with editing and post-production and sound mix. So Yeah, it's been some time.
So it's been your life for 3 years, huh? Consumed
one
you probably.
Time?
I said it's been, this is what you've been doing for the past 3 years, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, I've been jumping in and out of smaller projects on the side, but yeah, no, technically I've been intertwined into this and like very much focused on putting this all together. It's hard today with like limited funding and independent films to you know, make people come together and feel the passion that you all initially they had when you wrote it and, you know, make everyone understand what this is and like be on the same page. And yeah, it takes time.
Yeah.
We did a whole year in the festivals too. We did like 20, over 20 festivals. So that kind of...
Wow.
Yeah.
So get you
really
a lot
successful.
Of exposure.
Yeah, it was very successful. It had a very successful festival run. It really resonated with the audience. I think in this day and age when we're so many Marvel movies and just movies about money, it's rare to see a movie with real heart and vulnerability and authentic, and it's maybe a simple film, it's more like a kind of Blue Valentine, but people are craving for that, you know. It makes you remember it makes you remember what love is, and in this horrible time we're going, we're all struggling with anger and hate, it's good to kind of watch stuff that goes straight to the core
and watch drama, watch actual acting rather than explosions
CGI.
And stunts and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
so I totally get that. Johan, congratulations on your baby finally hatching. You know, this is very cool.
Thank you so much.
Of
course. Thank you.
And give our love to New York. How can people get in touch with you if they want to contact you, social media, if you have anything, or email?
Yeah, it's basically on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. It's just at Johan Madsen. And the website for the film is tillwemeetagainmovie.com, and you can actually email us through the website as well. But yeah, please follow us on the Ching Ching Film is our Twitter account and Instagram.
Will do.
Ching Ching Film, yeah.
So we're looking forward to it. Everybody can watch the film on iTunes, Amazon Videos, PlayStation, Google Play, and Xbox. So
no excuses.
Yeah, exactly. Really. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And you on Newport.
Yeah.
Exactly. You need to see
that's
this. And usually, you know, when people put a lot of love and passion into their work, it comes through in the film, you know. And you guys seem like to be really dedicated to this, you know. So it's exciting. All right. So Johan Madsen, everybody, if you want to get in touch with him, check him out on social networks and stuff. And again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Tim. I really appreciate it. And,
Of course. So keep listening. Obviously, your colleagues are here. We'll continue talking, find out a little bit more about them and stuff. And when you're in town, you're always welcome to come in.
I appreciate that. I'll see you when I'm in LA.
Okay, bye. Awesome.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So, okay, guys, so now we're going to get into the meat of the movie, too, but let's get a little bit of background.
I was about to say a really bad joke then.
You can say it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So my mum might be listening. I've got to be careful.
So you live here in LA. Emrys, do you live here, too?
Yes, I live here, but if you can't tell, I'm actually from England.
Yeah, so, and how long have you lived here?
Wait, get out of here, guys.
Off and on for about 6 years now.
Oh, really? So this is home for you now?
Yeah, I'm a permanent resident of the United States of America. Thank God, actually. I'm very lucky
to
be here.
You're welcome, you know. We could, we have room for everybody, you know.
Do we?
Yeah, right.
Do we?
I think so, except for illegals, you know, and that's a whole thing altogether. But we'll save that for another show. My question is just what part of illegal people don't understand. I don't know. But we'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah,
but
we're not going there. I'm going to go
not
nuts.
Going there. Okay, you're right. I didn't think it was that political, but okay, you know. I just asked the meaning of a word, but it's charged these days, so we won't go there. All right. But at any rate... I'm totally distracted now.
I am legal, guys, just so you know.
You are legal.
In case anyone wants to report me, I'm legal.
Okay, so everybody's like, yeah, okay. So, but at any rate, where are you from originally?
I grew up in Maine. I was born in the Boston area, and I grew up in southern Maine, a town called Cape Elizabeth.
Ooh, is it lovely?
Oh, the loveliest.
Yeah.
It's the most
really lovely.
Yeah, the most photographed lighthouse in the world.
Ooh.
Yes. Wow, yes. I can totally picture it.
Cape
Elizabeth.
Oh, yes.
Was it a small town?
Very small town. There were 550 students in my high school.
Oh, wow.
So like 120 in my graduating class. Everyone knew each other from kindergarten. Yeah. I came in third grade and I felt like a new kid until I was 14.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Really? Mm. Wow. But that's a good place to grow up, right? I mean, small place. Did everybody know everybody pretty much?
Everybody knew everybody.
Really?
Yeah, everyone
she had
knew.
To leave the town because she slept with all the good ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right? That's right.
I need all the new single guys in L.A. now.
Oh, but it was the best childhood. I mean, we just ran around, climbed trees, that's, chased boys. Yeah, it was like awesome. good old
fashioned. Do you have
America.
Siblings? Did you grow up with siblings?
I do. I have three sisters, two half-sisters, one full sister.
Wow, that's a big
I'm the youngest family. Of four girls.
Nice. Nice, a lot of estrogen.
Represent.
Yeah, girls.
Wow, that's a lot of girls. Yeah. What was your dad like? I mean, was he like going crazy?
My dad is the best. My really? Dad, my parents are also older. They're both artists, and my dad is a poet and wow. a painter.
I feel like your life is like one of those, Thomas Kincaid puzzles, you know, like beautiful lighthouse. Everyone's happy writing poetry.
Yeah, that's true. So that's cool. And you're still in touch and everything with the family. And
oh, yeah. I'll awesome. Probably be talking to them, you know.
And how long have you lived in L.A.?
I moved here. It'll be 2 years in January. And before that, I was in New York in Williamsburg, being super ironic.
Super ironic.
So ironic.
I had a boyfriend in Williamsburg when I lived in New York. And I was like, oh, it just started, the ironic part.
Oh, the irony.
Part. Ugh.
But I moved here 2 years ago, and I do miss it. But
how do you like L.A.?
L.A.'s great. I miss the East Coasters. I
Me
miss
too.
Walking everywhere.
That's true, right?
But I mean, it's LA.
The weather's great.
Yeah,
you can't.
I keep saying that I think New York is sort of like a toxic relationship. You go back and you're like, oh my gosh, like, oh, how did this never work out? And then by day three, something happens and you're like, oh yeah, this
yeah,
is
I want to get out of here.
I will never date you again.
Right.
That's cool. So so you did come here for the guys, right? And
Wait, what?
Wait.
The beaches.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
No?
So, but what made you decide to move here?
A few different things, but it just felt like it was time. I did a project that had a premiere in L.A., and every time I came here, I was
at that premiere.
Oh, yeah. Emerson was at that premiere.
Weird.
What? I was like a fan. I was like waving at him. He pretended to not know me.
I invited you.
So, but you didn't know each other then?
No, yeah, we already worked together. No, we weren't as friends. We worked together. Like, we just finished the movie, maybe. Like a few
Yeah, because we filmed Till We Meet Again 2 years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay. So now it's coming to a head. That's great.
Yeah.
Finally coming out.
Yeah right.
Oh, so 2 years ago. Okay, cool. So you guys actually were in Thailand, right?
Yeah, for a month.
A month?
And we had an amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
She actually witnessed me nearly kill myself or nearly knock myself out.
Well, Emrys just sort of runs towards life.
I can see that. I can see that.
Just sprints towards it. And it's really fun just trying to keep up with him.
Really?
It was always like, do you want to ride a banana boat? Do you want to go parasailing? Do you want to go through the jungle? Do you want to go ziplining? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, let's do all the extreme sports, right, Emrys?
And I did like that. I love it. Yeah, and actually after this film, I had a really bad accident, which I'll talk about just to warn y'all, because I actually dove off a cliff and didn't check how deep the water was and I knocked myself out.
Oh my God.
Really bad.
That's what I fear the most.
That's like the only thing you have to do is check the depth, right?
That's yeah.
The number one. You had one job.
I know. I saw people doing it earlier, but I guess I didn't do it exactly the same spot. But anyway, the story about which we talked about the other day, I was walking along, like just talking. I had a beer, maybe two. But anyway, so I walk into this spike, this rusty kind of nail, smashes me in the head. And I'm kind of like, okay, it's not that bad. I didn't think it was that bad. But 2 minutes later, like blood was just like pouring down my face.
Whoa. And he's like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, okay.
You look bad.
There's blood coming out of your head, so let's go find a bandage. But I think this also speaks to Thai people. We just walked into... We just happened to be around the corner from the pharmacy, of course. So we just walk in and these people just...
Clean me
with
out.
With open arms.
Wow.
Just bandage his head up.
You know they glued it, actually.
Oh, yeah. They glued
Super
it
glued.
Luckily, it's in my hairline because otherwise, you know, don't mess with the face.
Yeah, right.
My moneymaker. But it's in my hairline. So there is actually a scar, which I think is quite cool. It will always remind me of that fun day. And then afterwards, I was like, okay, we're done. Let's go get a cocktail.
Wow.
But that was one of the coolest things about working in Thailand was getting to know the Thai people.
Mm-hmm.
And half of
the
our
culture.
Crew was from Thailand. And we were all staying in these bungalows on at this bed and breakfast in this town, actually called Silver Lake, which is
it was on a vineyard.
Oh wow!
Amazing, like 100 acres or something.
Yeah, wow. so beautiful and very Thai, like these giant butterflies and windmills. It was very kitschy in that Thai way. And they totally embraced us, and it was really neat to see how they treated each other. And that was my biggest takeaway from being in Thailand, was that they treated each other with kindness, because that's how you treat people.
It's a different culture.
Not this Western way of karma that I think we think that you, if you're polite, then people will be polite to you. But you're still doing it to get
something
back,
yes.
And in Thailand, for the most part, people just treated people like they should be treated.
Yeah.
Because
nature,
that's what you do.
That's true.
And, you know, and these things do happen in many parts of the world where it's smaller. You know, it's like people are villagers or small towns and stuff. They're not as suspicious. You know, we live in a very suspicious...
The West is. It's very... It's guilt-ridden.
And big cities, too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but the West, Western Hemisphere is a very guilt-ridden, sort of angst-ridden, I'll do something for you if you do something bad.
Materialistic.
Right, and the Eastern is very different. I'm studying Buddhism, and my teacher had to teach the Dalai Lama. He did an American tour. That America's very different when you give a speech. So it's interesting. You got to see the huge contrast.
Yeah, but don't you think, like, in America, in smaller towns, like very small, people behave the same way too. I mean, if you get to a sparse area like you were in Thailand, because you said you were like out there somewhere, right? And then there was a pharmacy. I mean, it's like, but people are like closer to each other, right? They have less of a guard against other people.
Yeah, you could live here for 5 years and not know your neighbor's name,
exactly.
Right? I actually, funny you say that, I've done two movies in a place called Bhutan, which is between China and India. It's a Buddhist country, and I learned so much. And I think they're happy because they're content with less than what we're given. And we're fed, Western civilization is fed more on our social media, and we idolize, you know, the
and
Kardashians.
Faster.
Yeah, and it's like enough is never enough. Whereas you go to certain parts of the world, they're just more content with what they've been given. And that means you can enjoy life. I feel like most of the reason you're not happy is because you don't think you have enough, or you're not good looking enough.
I don't
think their culture
especially in LA too,
exactly.
There's a lot of competition.
Yeah.
But that in America,
it takes a lot to stand out.
There's
here.
A Western sense that even in the small towns there's a difference between an Eastern and a Western, and it's just like a vibe, I think.
Yeah. I got a lot from Bhutan and Thailand. I love it. I've been going there for the last 3 years. Every year I've done a movie there for some
weird
reason. Yeah, it's really been
cool. You were meant to do that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So
yeah, cool.
I'm ready for my next movie.
Yeah, someone hook him up.
Can it be a really well-paid one, please?
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Emrys and Astrea. They're stars of the film Till We Meet Again. They gave me like a link for the movie, but it doesn't seem to work for me. I don't know, but it is tillwemeetagainmovie.com, right? Do you guys know whether it is? I just put it in the browser. I don't get anything. I
did you spell it
before.
T-I-L?
No, I just clicked on the thing from YouTube, so I don't know what's going on. Okay, but just check it out, okay?
IMDb, International Movie Database, if you put Till We Meet Again in there. And then there's the trailer and the show times, because it's currently playing in some theaters. So, yeah, check out the trailer. It's a cool trailer.
I like
it.
I mean, hopefully you'll want to see the movie. You see a little ass in the trailer.
All right. Is it your ass?
No.
No, it's my bum.
Yes!
This one.
Wow.
She didn't even have an ass double.
It's so funny. I feel like every time my character sees a body of water, she just takes her
clothes
off and jumps in.
That seems like your character.
Yeah, it's not sexual, though. It's just every time I'm around a body of water, I'm like,
well, you know, if I was Johan right in the movie, I would do the same thing.
I kind of love that about
her, every time. Yeah.
When you are in Thailand, you are a lot more free. Like, I actually did the backpacking thing when I was 18, and I was kind of like that. Like, it's, you give yourself permission. It's kind of like, it's Disneyland. You can do anything.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Here, you know, and you can feel in America, you can't drink on the beach. You can't get
smoke in a restaurant.
Yeah, it's like so annoying. I hate rules. I mean, I love breaking them, but Thailand, there isn't any, is there?
Well, I think that's also the mindset that you're in when you travel. You give yourself the permission to let go of your inhibitions, because that's, well, that's why you travel too, is to expand your mind, and I think it's just such a good remedy for all of these barriers that we create for
travel
ourselves.
Travel is great. James Baldwin said, you meet a lot of people when you travel. You even meet yourself.
Yes,
totally.
Completely.
Totally. Mic drop. But I traveled in Europe for a year too, and I did things I would like. I went to Vienna by myself on a train for 11 hours, smoking with a conductor late at night on the train. And I'm like, I would never do that here, ever. So yeah, you do things. you allow the permission is given. It's interesting.
Yeah, and you learn a lot about yourself. I had a month in Bhutan 3 years ago, and I had no outside contact for a whole month. I decided to, because we were shooting in a very the eastern part of Bhutan where there was no Wi-Fi, and I had to kind of deal with the crap.
How did you do that?
Well, I was like jonesing for the first 2 days. I was like, look, because I had my phone. I was like, oh my God.
It's an and addiction.
Then it doesn't work, addiction. Right?
It's like we actually look at our phone apparently 93 times a day. That's the fact, apparently.
Wow.
I wake up and reach for it like an asshole.
I know.
Yeah. Well, actually, we were just in San Francisco and we saw the film again, and I realized that we don't have our phones in the entire film. Not one time do we... Well, maybe they do, but at least in my scenes, I don't have
a phone.
Interesting. Interesting. Right.
It's so freeing.
Different. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I see you guys have had some roles in TV shows and stuff like that, right? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, Emers?
I would love to boast and brag about my whole career.
I mean, this
but
is
we'll,
what you
we'll
do.
We'll need a whole other hour. No, I'm kidding. Right. I've been, I'm very blessed of, like, I grew up in a very small town and I come from, you know, a very modest background, and I would just always dreamed, and I would just want to say that because I didn't come from much. And anyone who's listening who has a dream, just go for it. I worked really hard. I got into the industry as a ballet dancer from age of 5 years old. Yeah. I couldn't do anything.
Ballet.
Billy Elliot, yeah. No, my sister was in doing ballet, and then I'd kind of begged my mom, and then finally they let me start dancing, and it was like a duck to water. I sucked at school because I had ADD, dyslexic, and I just really excelled at the performing and the acting and stuff.
Yeah, so you're the creative type. I mean, you were never meant to sit there and study and all that.
No, I couldn't do it. I was looking out the window at the birds. Yeah. But then I come from a very artistic background. My mum and dad, my father was doing Shakespeare. He was an actor, and my mum was involved with dance. Mm. More amateur dramatics, not like professional, but they just love the arts. So at 16, I'm giving you my long story. I'll cut it down. So at 16, okay. I went to London, studied professionally to be a ballet dancer, kind of because my mum wanted me to, but I was like, I want to do acting more. So in my third year, I transferred to a musical theatre college. From there, I graduated and then toured with a musical fame, and I did Mamma Mia, We Rock You. I did 5 years in the West End doing musicals, but I actually found it kind of a bit, you do 8 shows a week, and I just need a bit of change. So I just came out and winged
it. It's very much the same.
Yeah,
same
exactly. Yeah. I always wondered how people can do that. It's like do the same thing over and over and over again.
It's tough.
I think it loses its meaning after a while.
You got to be new every time.
You got to keep it fresh every night. And I loved it while I was there, and it was a really great lifestyle, but I wanted more, and that's why I just came out to LA, winged it, and didn't know anyone. I just kind of figured it out as I went along, and it just kind of worked out. Yeah.
Now, was that your first time to LA? I mean, have you been here before?
Well, I first came here at 24, and I managed to talk an agent, a manager, into representing me.
I feel like this is your life. You just talk people into it.
Yeah, I
did. Yeah.
No, he actually asked me why. He was like, why should I represent you? Because at that point in my career, I had no TV experience.
Right.
And I said, well, if you don't represent me, it'll be the biggest mistake of your career. And he was like, oh, wow, okay. So I talked him into it, and then luckily I got my visa, and I came out, and my first job was CSI New York, and it kind of just rolled from there.
That's cool, you know, and I love to hear stories like this because it's inspiring. You know, you go into a new place, you don't know what's going to happen there, and yet, you know, you come here and you follow your dream, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Now, so did you feel confined in the UK as far as your career? Did you feel you could do more here in Hollywood?
Well, I think I watched a program about 12 years old about Hollywood and old Hollywood, that mystical. I just think it just touched me, and I just said to my mum, I want to go to Hollywood one day. And I just think it has that Land of Dreams vibe. And I just always thought, and when I got here, it wasn't as attractive as I thought. You know what I mean? I was like, well, it's not as pretty.
No.
But then you get to kind of look around, and I always dreamed of coming. I just never knew how to do it. But I think back to what you said, I think it's good to gamble on yourself. It means you believe. Like, a lot of people don't quite have the guts to go for what they really want.
It's the bravery, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you're even if you fall on your face, you're falling forward.
Right.
And I've fallen on my face many times. Right. In fact, I've fallen on the back
like
of my
Thailand.
Head.
Like in Thailand,
like,
right.
Literally, yeah. So anyone that has a dream, I always tell them just to go for it.
That's awesome. And Australia, so how did you get into the acting part? I mean, what did you feel at an early age that's what you wanted to do?
I did, and I'm a little bit similar to Emerson's story. I was so shy growing up, so shy. Wow. And I struggled in school with paying attention. I went to a school that was very, very rigorous academically. It was a pretty much like a private public school. And I did well. I graduated with a 93 GPA and everything, but that took some, like, you know, so I was kicking and screaming, and it was very painful for me to sit down. Except when I did theater and I did speech and debate, and I got into like competitive poetry readings. And I got to travel the country doing that for a little bit, which is
amazing,
funny and specific.
Yeah, I like competitive poetry readings. It's so
yeah, I like you know, and obviously influenced by your father because he said he's a poet, right?
Yeah, and I grew up in a very artistic household. I don't think my parents would know what to do if I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah, what if you were trying to be a lawyer? They'd be like, "Get out!
We got the wrong one."
Yeah.
This isn't ours. I was always encouraged to find the creative alternative to any problem.
One very outgoing, one very shy, but with an artistic background, they both ended up the same way. Interesting.
Yeah. And so I knew I wanted to go, and that's what I connected with, and I wanted to, and I think I look at the world from an emotional point of view and a relationship point of view. So then after graduating high school, I went to an acting conservatory in Toronto called York University. Had amazing teachers who really fostered creativity from a very emotional place. It's a really, really great training facility. And then after that, I moved to New York, and I didn't really know if I wanted to go into theater or clown school. I didn't really know. And then I started doing films at, I did student films at
And she was a
Columbia.
Supermodel. She's a
and then
very successful model.
And then I started doing modeling in New York, but I never really understood the fashion world. It just
But you've got
really
the hair as a model. You got the great hair.
Yeah.
I've been looking at the whole time. Those bangs.
Yeah, she's
They're killing me with those bangs.
Those bangs.
Great
yeah,
looking.
She's very beautiful. And Amherst is as well a very handsome man. And you guys need to understand that in movies, people like to see beautiful people, right? I mean, and you guys are beautiful people.
Thank you.
You know, in addition to very, very inspiring, both of you, very inspiring with your careers, you know. And so what's next for you guys? We only have a few minutes left.
But we're having so much fun.
I know. It's
flown by.
Time flies, right?
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
What's next for you in your career, Amherst?
Well, I am waiting for the phone to ring
yes.
for the next job.
But, does it ever happen, though?
I actually do have some exciting stuff coming out that I've already filmed. A movie called Nosferatu that I shot last year. It was actually a remake of the classic first ever vampire movie called Nosferatu. So people yes. are quite excited about it. I worked with Doug Jones and I play the lead in that. And it was just a really amazing acting experience. I'm very proud of it. Wow. It's because the original was obviously black and white. It was a black and white silent movie. We're now talking. And they're actually taking the old actors out and putting us in.
Oh, wow.
So it's very interesting technology.
Really?
So there's a
lot of vampire? Are you a vampire in it?
I'm actually the hero, the
All right.
The tragic hero that, yeah.
Nice.
Gets bitten and all this fun stuff. So yeah, that's coming out. And then I have a movie called Kushitara coming out just before Christmas. And that was the one I shot in Bhutan. So yeah, there's some cool projects. And I actually had a really amazing acting experience a few months ago playing the actor Montgomery Clift in a Frank and Ava. It's called Frank and Ava. And it's a biopic about Frank Sinatra. So I got to really study him. And I actually was asked 5 years ago who one of my acting inspirations was, and I said Montgomery Clift,
weird.
And then
manifestation.
Yeah. And then I got offered the role. And I was really excited, and then I was like, "Shit, I have to play one of the best actors of all time." No pressure.
Be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
Yeah, but it was just very rewarding because I then got to watch his whole catalog of movies again, and it was just inspiring because I was kind of got jaded by the industry, and then when you're just getting a role. And his whole approach to acting, he was a real artist. He took it so seriously, and I kind of got a lot from playing him.
Yeah.
So it kind of got my love back for the industry.
That's
enough
awesome.
About me. What have you got coming up?
No. But wait a minute. Yeah. Before we get to Australia, how can people find you, contact you? Social media, anything you want.
But well, I love to be stalked.
Me too.
And I love it when you like my pictures because I need every bit of validation I can get because I'm an actor.
Just like me.
Yeah. I don't care who you are. Just follow me.
Just like me. Labrador retrievers. Just like me.
Yeah. So if you want to follow me, I'm pretty stupid half the time. I say silly things. But it's Emrys Cooper, which is EmrysCooper. So, and that's all of the whole shebang. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook,
Emrys
what other?
Cooper.
I'm not on Snapchat yet. I haven't caught up.
Me neither, because I'm too old. Bother.
I don't understand it.
I don't get it.
I tried for a day and I was
like, I did too, and then I erased the day. I can't do it.
Yeah.
But apparently that's how they communicate.
I know, they don't even talk. Yeah. It's snapping. Is it Snapchatting? I don't know. I'm too old.
I already waste enough time on the other stuff.
Yeah, me too.
I don't need another.
I got Instagram to worry about. I know.
Yeah.
Well, in Austria, what's next for you?
Just continuing to live the dream here in Los Angeles, hustling, and there's always a mix of modeling, commercials, acting going on.
Do you like modeling or no? Kind of.
I do. Okay. I do love, because any sort of creative collaboration feels good, and I've learned a lot about acting from modeling and vice versa. So yeah, I do love it. My passion is acting.
Yeah, I can tell.
But modeling is a, you know, if that's a way to earn money, that's
why not?
Great.
It pays the bills,
right? Yeah. And a nice way to do that too. But from what I understand, it's not an easy job at all. It's not easy work to be a model.
No, but most of the modeling stuff out here is commercial stuff because it's California and it's sunny and people do more lifestyle stuff versus the fashion world.
The editorial piece.
Are you still doing the nude Playboy magazines?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Thank God. Don't ever give that up.
But there's no nudity anymore, right? There's no nudity in Playboy anymore.
What's the point
of
buying Playboy?
Full disclosure, I don't actually do any of that.
I was just joking, by the way.
I know. I was just,
she's going to get a Playboy offer now, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, I know. I was just wondering, did we miss something in this interview, you know? Well, you guys are awesome. And how can people find you, Australia? You have a beautiful name, unusual name.
Both of them.
Yeah. How did you get your name?
Well, Australia, it's spelled A-S-T-R-E-A, and my Instagram is A-A-S-T-R-E-A, if you were so inclined to follow me. Australia is the goddess of human justice in Greek mythology.
Wow.
That's you.
Very cool.
Damn.
Yeah.
Justice. Watch
Seriously.
Out.
Well, Emrys means Merlin, so watch out.
Does it?
If you
the
piss
wizard?
Me off, I'm putting
My
you under
gosh,
a spell.
That's right. The cartoon wizard. Or a Marvel movie, Australia and Emrys.
Yeah, I was watching Merlin, the TV show, the other day, and I'm like cleaning the room, and there was like Emrys.
Oh,
and I was like,
wow.
What the fuck? Whoa. And it was because the one of the characters was calling Merlin Emrys, and
that's neat.
And I was like, did I take acid today?
Yeah. Are they talking to me?
I love that.
By the way, I've never taken acid, kids. Don't do it.
Everybody, check out the movie Till We Meet Again. It's coming out. It's out already, right? And yeah. Friday, it's going to be available on iTunes, Amazon Video, Sony PlayStation, Google Play, and Xbox. So you can't say, oh, where am I going to watch this? You know, there'll be somewhere where you can find it.
Okay. Well, you could probably wait till it's free on Netflix. But don't do that because we make more money if you
pay
for
it.
Exactly. And there you go. So you want us to actually go to iTunes and stuff and pay for
we
it?
We want you to.
We'll do that.
We'll actually encourage it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is this. Look, people.
You don't need to buy it. Just rent it.
Yeah. It doesn't mean they work for free. You know, I mean, you guys got to be a little generous in getting content online, I think, you know. But but if you're on Netflix, you guys don't make any money or what?
Once it goes to Netflix, the Netflix pay, you know, a fee to the film, and that will, you know,
trickle down.
The more money the movie makes, the more money we make. So yeah, we will profit from Netflix. But the problem, once it goes onto Netflix, no one needs to buy it on iTunes or Amazon.
I see what you're saying.
So it's kind of like, but it won't be onto Netflix for, you know, a couple of, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. So, you know, people can use the VOD platforms first.
Nice.
And hopefully make lots of money.
Loads.
Yeah. I don't see myself buying a house quite yet. It's a
very
start.
Cool. Well, you guys are a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
So
Thank
you.
So much.
Great energy about them, right?
Totally.
I mean, you guys are awesome people. We wish you a lot of success with the film, with your future work, and you're welcome back anytime.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. Tori, thank you as
anytime.
Always. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.